Breaking news at Town Hall. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The administration is pausing leases for 5 large-scale offshore wind projects under construction along the East Coast.
President Trump has not been shy about his disdain for wind energy, but the administration says it's pausing the offshore projects because of national security risks identified by the Pentagon. A statement from the Interior Secretary did not offer any details about those risks. The administration said the pause will give it time to address the security risks, while proponents of wind and renewable energy slammed the announcement. Greg Clugston, Washington.
If you're traveling this week, you won't be alone. In fact, this holiday season could just set a record.
AAA estimates 122 million Americans will travel between this past Saturday and New Year's Day. That's nearly 3 million more than the record set a year ago. AAA Travel Vice President Stacy Barber says people have a desire to travel, whether it's returning to their hometowns or going to new destinations. AAA expects about 110 million people to travel by car, with another 8 million taking domestic flights. The number of people taking flights would also set a record, despite domestic round-trip flights costing an average of 7% more this year than last year.
That is Ed Donahue. Most Americans not making end-of-year charitable giving plans.
That's despite the many fundraising appeals made by nonprofits that rely on donation surges in the calendar's final month to reach next year's budget targets. The survey found that about half of U.S. adults say they've already made their charitable contributions for 2025. Just 18% indicate they've donated and will donate again before the year is over. Only 6% report they haven't given yet, but will do so by year's end. Rich Thomason reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
This Christmas, get a bonus AI Essentials course when you enroll in any My Computer Career IT program by the end of the year. That's a $3,900 value. Attend classes online or on campus. Enjoy lifetime job placement support and IT certifications in high demand. Go to mycomputercareer.edu today and take the free career evaluation. That's mycomputercareer.edu, an elite CompTIA certification partner. Conditions apply to AI offer and financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and 4 kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
Correspondent Julie Walker reports multiple gunmen opened fire at a South African pub, killing 9 people over the weekend.
In South Africa, 9 people were killed and at least 10 injured early Sunday in a shooting that started at a tavern in Bekkersdal, about 28 miles from Johannesburg, and spilled into the street. Local police commissioner Major General Fred Kakana says about a dozen gunmen had 9mm pistols and one AK-47 when they got out of cars and started shooting.
Two other people tried to run away. They got into their Black Wolf that was here. And they were shot and killed all day.
Police say a car service driver dropping off a client was also shot and killed. I'm Julie Walker.
Part of Northern California spent much of the weekend in the dark. A massive outage knocked out power to 130,000 homes and businesses in San Francisco. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Donna Warner reports on an employee at the French president's residence accused of making off with thousands of dollars worth of tableware.
A silver steward who worked at Élysée Palace, the official residence of France's president, is accused of being a palace pilferer, allegedly taking up to $55,000 in silverware and other tableware, according to the Paris prosecutor's office. The head steward at the palace reported the disappearance, and the company that supplied most of the items identified them on online auction websites. Officials say the silver steward in question had inventory records that gave the impression he was planning future thefts, and they found some 100 objects in his personal locker, his vehicle, and home. I'm Donna Warner.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 232 points, the NASDAQ up 116, and the S&P 500 up by about 40. More on these stories at
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
We'll expect mostly sunny skies this afternoon with temperatures around 70 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the lower 50s. And then tomorrow, sunny and warmer with highs in the mid-70s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple of old Marines giving a little weekday R&R refuge to stimulate your senses.
People are aroused. I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
The Scuttlebutt Network radio program, every Wednesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. on FM Talk 106.5. Your voice of the veterans for the veterans. Tune in, sound off, and sound off like you got a pair. Hoorah!
There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Christmas Eve. And phone number hadn't changed, nor has the text line. They are the same. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. In addition to Locals Only Christmas list up, we're down to the final wire here for our Alabamian of the Year contest as we're looking at the six finalists here. We made it through the heats last week. Remember, Alabamian of the Year is that person, place, thing, event, the animal, whatever, that most moved the news cycle in Alabama in 2025. And yes, for Cameron's knowledge here, it's completely just ripped off from Time's Person of the Year.
Yeah,
10 years ago. And so you can vote right now. Semifinal round for the 2025 Alabama of the Year contest. Two of these nominees will receive the most votes, will go to the next and the final game here. It is still in the mix. The Mobile Beaver Removal Story, the Gulf of America, the Choose Act, the January snowstorm, the inflatable Fairhope protest penis, and St. Michael's head coach and NFL quarterback Philip Rivers, who will be playing Monday Night Football tonight, which I've said since the get-go here, Cameron, Disney couldn't write this movie better. You have he's a retired NFL coach, coaching high school at St. Michael's Catholic.
Yeah.
Gets called back up to the pros. Story is that they had his cleats like framed there. He gets them out of the frame thing to put them back on to...
That is awesome.
I mean, Disney can't write it better. I mean, this is the movie.
And he loves Jesus.
Yes.
So, I mean, you put it all together and he wins a Super Bowl.
Yes.
There you go.
And imagine being one of his players. I mean, good. Yeah, your coach. How about this? Our coach is playing tonight in the pros. You know, that's like pretty cool stuff. But yeah, you can vote on those. Front page of FMTalk1065.com. Those of you just joined us this hour, it's my buddy Cameron Smith. You know his work from Boofy, from music, from writing. Read his work in the Tennessean. You can check out the music of Wasted Bacon, which got a seal of approval from my judgmental 20-year-old daughter.
It was huge. I mean,
she's a musician and she's judgmental, and she was on.
She's like, "What are you doing? Wow, that's it. Do I look like somebody that wouldn't be creative?" And she wanted to say, "Yeah, I'm really shocked that you can do that." But yes, Santa Got Deported as a Christmas single.
Yes,
wherever you stream music. Just go listen to it, and it will make you laugh, and then you can, for even a moment, get a chuckle from our politics.
Yes, so that is but there's a back catalog, too. Don't let them
pretend. Oh, yeah.
But the hot new thing out is the Christmas single, Santa Got Deported. You can check that out as well. Plus, this is kind of interesting stuff for audience, my audience. Also, a man who likes to shoot a 308. So he likes.
Yeah.
So that's also good. you shoot 308, that's a great round.
Yeah, we were actually talking about that on the way over here. The boys were like, Dad, we really like the 308, but I think we probably need at least 130. They were doing the you need this.
Yes.
And what they're really saying is I want this.
Yes.
But if you get it because you need it,
correct,
then they can shoot it. They could
help you shoot.
Yeah, they're like, my son, we call him the middle beast. He likes the 308, and my youngest he really loved the bolt action rifle. Was it Remington 700?
700, yeah, ADL. Yeah, they gave him to.
He was like, this is heavy. I like it. I think I need one of those, but a 30-06, I'm a bigger guy, Dad, so a little more power here.
You want to go the 06, okay. Yeah. Throwback. Yeah. Throwback, yeah. It's retro. Also, Jason texted in, we're talking about the situation there at Brown University with the Reddit post. He said, wasn't that the plot to Good Will Hunting? Was the homeless guy solving complex problems at night? Well, he solved a big one there. So
I mean, this guy was a Brown graduate.
Yeah, and I guess he had gone to school there, and I don't know that part of it. But he once was a student, was hiding out at mm-hmm. Brown, using their heat and Wi-Fi to live there.
Solid, so,
yeah, pretty solid move. Another movie. Yeah, it's like that could be. It's like Good Will Hunting in a way.
It's kind of like my wife, who I just remind her every year or so. She went to Washington and Lee University in Lexington, Virginia. It's an excellent school. It's where we both went. Huge fan. And her degree was in poverty.
A degree? I had a degree in poverty, too, at the University of Alabama.
Yeah, that's like eating ramen. Hers is like paper that you go to school to learn about poverty. And I'm like, isn't the reason you go to school to not be in poverty?
Yeah. So I didn't know that.
Yeah. So she had, I think it was
give her grief about
public
that.
Health with a focus on poverty. And every year or so, I'm like, sweetie, how's that poverty degree coming in? Is it working for you?
I didn't know that was a thing you could get a degree in.
Yeah. Neither did I. But hey.
I lived that lifestyle as a student at the University of Alabama. But
then she looks at me and says, oh, well, tell me more about your philosophy and classics degree. You philosophized any lately? I'm like, all the time.
I guess nobody's making fun of the TCF major, Sean Sullivan, with the minor in English, huh?
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
If I remembered any of that. All right, let's talk what's going on right now or not going on right now. This news was broken to me yesterday by my son.
Yep.
And one of the contingent of us there at the forum this weekend who said, Dad, the Epstein files are released. This is my 15-year-old's dad. The Epstein files released, and they're completely redacted. I want to go to balance that. Let's listen to Representative Thomas Massie talk about what may or may not happen with this.
That is wrong. Do not let the Senate muck this bill up. And if you're a party to that in the Senate, you are part of this cover-up that we are trying to expose. I am sorry if one of your billionaire donors is going to get embarrassed because he went to Rape Island. That is what they have coming. In fact, they need to be on the other side of bars, a lot of them. Some of them will be embarrassed, but some of them need to go to prison, and the survivors know that. So how will we know if this bill has been successful? We will know when there are men, rich men, in handcuffs being perp-walked to the jail. And until then, this is still a cover-up.
Okay. So with that being said, back during the debate over the bill that moved this forward, now the claim of the weekend was the redaction was to protect the victims. We've heard that many times, which I go, well, just leave their names out. But it also said, they said they didn't want to embarrass people.
That is not one of the carve-outs in the law.
Yeah, you're the lawyer here. I'm just talk show.
The law is very clear that you have to. There are only certain legitimate reasons to redact, and you have to minimize those. And this is just an epic fail from the administration. It drives me insane because Massey's right here. Like, some folks are going to get embarrassed. Okay, you should. And if you did something criminal, we'll prosecute you. Otherwise, we'll move forward. But we said transparency and we meant it. And it is such a letdown to so many folks, particularly MAGA folks, who said, hey, look, y'all told us you were going to do this. And now they're trying to, you know, same folks are trying to say, well, maybe I see. I just maybe. But at the pit of their stomach, they know they said transparency. They promised us. And this ain't it.
No, and the analog I thought about this morning, and which, by the way, side note, maybe we should run a poll here. Is Pam Bondi being transparent here, as they say? Is it transparency of crystal clear creek water or the Tom Bigby at full flood? Where do you think the trans or somewhere in between?
This is like chocolate milk.
Yeah, it's chocolate. There's not the transparency.
And honestly, if I were the Trump administration, I would replace her immediately.
I've said that. I don't know how Cash Patel is still doing what he's doing. I don't know how Bondi's still doing.
The DOJ, the whole thing over there right now is just, it's a kind of show that comes out your butt.
Yeah.
I mean, it ain't good, and it is driving me, because I thought what we were going to get, and I was actually very excited about the Trump administration going in, rooting out this sort of bureaucratic justice, turning it on its head and saying, you know what? No one's above the law. No one's super special. We're going to enforce the law, and that's that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what we got.
No, and I wonder in this, would have been better to release nothing or release everything. The in-between is always the worst. And I feel like, to stay with kid analogies here, and maybe I would have been guilty of it at some point, hey, where are your grades? Well, I can't get you the grades right now because there's a problem in the computer at school.
Yep.
They're going to get it worked out. Okay. 7 days later, hey, where are your grades? They got that computer thing fixed. Yeah, but you know what they did? They released this one class, and you get the, oh, you made a B, good, all right. What about the other classes? There's a problem with those other classes. I can't release those right now. Instead of just saying, it's like every time they're going to release the Epstein files in this latest tranche, whichever that word I'm tired of, but they're tranching, it doesn't fulfill what they said they were going to do in the first place, so they might as well just not release anything.
So why does a kid do that with the grades?
Yeah, because they're in trouble.
Because they made bad grades.
Yeah, because there's an F coming. Somewhere in this, there's an F coming.
And this, for me, is exactly what... And if I'm a Democrat right now, I'm just beating Republicans to death with this. Like, just to say, hey, you know what? You said transparency. You couldn't even deliver on that. Remember when y'all made those notebooks, said phase one? Remember that?
Ran around with them, yeah.
That was a hot minute ago, and y'all are just hiding something. What you hiding? Tell me what you're hiding. Like, let's just go ahead and get it. Let's air it out. Tell me what you're hiding. That's all a Democrat has to do right now, especially in one of these swing districts. That's worth a couple points. That's enough to win. And I'm telling you, Republicans, if they stuck with what they advertised, then we'd be in a good situation right now. But I'm telling you, on this healthcare stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the promises made, promises kept.
Yeah.
Right? We're going to release it. And even if it's... they say it's a nothing burger, nothing comes out. Well, yeah, we thought it was too, y'all, but we made sure we did what we said we were going to do. We released it, and it doesn't. There's not a smoking gun.
Yeah, sorry, it's boring, folks.
Yeah.
Here you go. I mean, a perfect example is immigration law. They enforced immigration law like nobody else has.
Mm-hmm.
And it is tough, it is hard, but you know what? It's right. And so they get credit for that. That is tough as it is, as much as the media wants to hang them with it. Can't, because it's a very popular issue, because they're doing what they said they'd do. On these other things, they're not, and it's a big problem.
This text from Tim here says, I don't really know what political game they're playing. I guess it's the one that they always play, but the Democrats don't really want all these files released, because if they did, they had 4 years to do it, and all they're trying to do is rag on Republicans and use this as some kind of leverage for the midterm.
Maybe, but I mean... I think, honestly, that the Biden administration was so largely incompetent that they would check something like this to see if they could nail Trump. But they probably didn't think about it beyond that in terms of donors and other folks. They were like, whatever. We don't have any smoking gun.
Yeah, I don't. I've said this several times. I don't think people are like, they're hiding Trump. I don't think Trump did anything. I don't think he did. But who else is, why is he protecting anybody?
And that's my point is.
And is it,
why? Don't protect him. Massey's right. Rape Island, man. If somebody's like, hey, why, you want to come to me with an island that's full of young girls? No.
Well, okay, you and I talked about this, too. This is, and I don't know if we did this on there. You and I talked about it privately. So you know somebody, and, let's say you and I have known each other a long time, but you've never come and spent 4 days at the farm with us.
Right.
And let's say you got to the farm and weird stuff going on. Now, so people say, well, Cameron was friends with Sean Sullivan. Well, if he had never gone to Sean's house, I mean, you only do radio or whatever.
Right.
You go stay for 4 days and there's weird stuff going on. then you don't be friends with Sean Sullivan anymore.
Yes. Like, the moment that someone who appears underage shows up,
right.
I'm gone. I'm like, give me a plane, train, I'll swim.
So that's what I'm saying about the people that might be embarrassed. Because I think there, and I think people should look at this if we ever get anything unredacted and say there are some people that might have truly just known Epstein, they were doing business with him, never went to the island. And you might say, well, that guy's kind of creepy. Well, there's all kind of creepy people in business. If they just were doing money things, if it was legal, you know, on the edge, then you know, you don't come after them for that. But then if you then can say, well, no, I never did go to the island. Okay. Those people get a pass. You know, you didn't go to the island.
If you're the one that's
if you're going to the island repeatedly, then there's a reason you're going to the island repeatedly.
Right. And if you go to that island and you're having cocktails and hanging on the beach, great. But like, if you see, hey man, that woman looks pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't. Ooh, and that's a creepy old dude.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
Then you don't ever come back. You leave and don't ever come back.
Yeah. And you've got to be willing to say, hey, here's what I saw, and be open and honest about it. And that's tough. I mean, because everybody's been in a room somewhere where there's something they didn't like,
mm-hmm.
right? It doesn't mean it's illegal, but you're uncomfortable with it. And when you make the decision of, I got to get out of here, then usually you tell somebody and say, hey, just so you know, I was there. You know, and I've seen this at frat parties and stuff where people are a little bit too gone. And I'm just like, hey, that wasn't looking good. I just need to get out of there. And then I tell somebody else. So it's like, hey,
you've documented
that. They know that I departed.
Yes. Tim, I think they do this for political leverage, because if you release everything, you don't have anything on anybody to bargain with. But that's what we're talking about. That was the hope for Trump coming in, that this stuff being held for bargaining purposes, those days were over.
That's literally what Epstein did.
Yes.
Was, hey, let me get a picture of you and that young lady right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was his thing. So then he's got you leveraged, and that was his jam, was he was a power broker for that reason, and he knew what he was doing.
Like,
he was running a scheme, and he was really good at it.
Yeah.
And he's a creep, but he was good at what he was doing.
Yeah, well, still, I mean, he's good at being a creep, but was the worst part about it.
Yeah.
So, are you satisfied with the redacted Epstein list that's out over this weekend, just in time to put it under the Christmas tree? We'll be right back.
I'm Shimani Baker for WKRG News 5. The Mobile County Sheriff's Office is warning people about skimmers at local businesses taking customers' card numbers. The city of Mobile has received a number of complaints of skimmers being found on debit and credit card machines around the county. Businesses that find skimmers should call the Sheriff's Office immediately. First responders will soon receive safe room shelters in Foley. The city approved the bid for construction on the nearly $4 million project to build a shelter capable of housing 200 people during hurricanes and other emergencies. The safe room will be built to withstand 200 miles per hour winds and a 400 kilowatt generator. A restoration project is coming to Dauphin Island. More than $13 million will reinforce eroding shorelines, restore marsh habitats, and strengthen natural barriers to protect both wildlife and communities from storms. I'm Shimani Baker for WKRG News 5. Local coverage you can count on.
Work Trucks is now open in Mobile. Pickups, vans, box trucks, dump trucks, all types of work trucks. Work Trucks has what you need when you need it. Visit online at worktrucksllc.com. That's trucks with an X. Or see us at 7320 Airport Boulevard. Work Trucks. Trucks with an X.
Hi, I'm Alec Naaman with Naaman's Catering, and we are the party planning business. So if you're planning a wedding, corporate event, or just a good old backyard social, call Naaman's Catering at 473-3900. Our professional event planners have many years' experience to make your event one to remember. So call Naaman's today at 473-3900. Look us up on the web at naamanscatering.com, and let Naaman's Catering take care of all the details. Attention to detail is our specialty. God bless you, and go Jags!
Paymobile Capital Tractor will soon move to their new location on I-10, and they've started their moving sale now. Find great deals on all their Kubota equipment, from tractors to skid steers to UTVs. Kubota equipment sale going on now at Capital Tractor in Theodore on Highway 90.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
right, 124 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Just, by the way, just a side note story here. Maybe we'll get to this some more tomorrow. I'm still, and thank you for Brendan Kirby over at Fox 10 digging into this, because when the story broke last week that the city of Pritchard hadn't gotten any money from the SSUT, I went, oh my gosh, what? Because all the other municipalities, counties, they get money from, this is a travesty, right? I said, it seems pretty odd that when, well, Brendan Kirby dug into this, and he came up with the fact that actually Pritchard has gotten $9.1 million from SSUT. They just didn't know where it came from.
Wow.
You know, if I'm, and I know Carlotta Davis, new mayor, but if I'm getting $9 million in this city coffers from somewhere, I would ask, before I said something, when she said they weren't getting it, I'd say, hey, so-and-so in accounting, are we getting money from that online sales tax revenue?
You got to worry when they don't know where it went.
Yeah, that's,
yes. If you don't know where it came from, that's one thing.
But I mean, you're like, what's this magical $9 million here? They said it, yeah, the argument is, she said, the money from the SSUT is lumped together with traditional sales tax revenue, making it hard to determine how much the city gets from each source. All the other cities know how much they get from the different sources.
I'm sure that's line item.
Yeah. This came from SSUT. This came from, you know, Cambridge Grocery or whatever.
Right.
Like, and it's $9 million. It's like a lot.
Where'd it go? Oops.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, are y'all satisfied? I mean, number one, the transparency question. Mine is, if crystal clear rivers one side and flooded Tom Bigby is another, where do you put Bondi? Where do you put DOJ? Where do you put Bondi on that? You know, what, some really Luke sweet tea? Is it, but where do you put it on the transparency thing? Because do you believe this is the problem? That this poisons everything else?
Yeah, of course.
Comes out of that.
Well, you got Bongino coming out, and
look, he's going to get back into broadcast. It's easier to.
The thing that concerns me here is, what's the first thing that you do when you jump back in broadcasting after that job?
Well, you should write the tell-all book.
Yeah, you start criticizing and say, "Hey, I was there for you. Mm-hmm. I was inside. I was trying to do what's right, but the deep state forced me out." Mm-hmm. Like, I already see where this is going. He's going to make a bunch of money throwing him under the bus, and unfortunately, I hate to break it to you guys, the deep state works for Trump, and his ability to
do now, probably
force transparency. It's just sad. I mean, when Bondi, Patel and crew won't do it themselves within their own power to do those things, it comes from the top. This isn't bottom up. It's top down.
Do Bondi and Patel make it through the first or second, through the second quarter of 2026?
No. I don't see how they do, because Trump loves loyalists until the loyalists create bad optics for him. And Bondi's been doing it over and over again, and Patel has too. And so eventually those people become liabilities themselves, and then, much like he treated Jeff Sessions, that's how Bondi will be treated. And she'll be confused.
So you're thinking by May, where do you give this? Or by February?
I think it's actually going to be interesting.
Can somebody go to Kalshi and see what the odds are on this? And see the betting odds?
I want to see what happens with the tariffs, okay? So if the Supreme Court, like I think, is going to strike down some of these tariffs, Trump's going to be annoyed with the Department of Justice and be like, if you had made better arguments or whatever, like, then my tariffs would still be here and I wouldn't have to keep jumping through hoops. Like, this is your fault. And he's pretty quick on that kind of stuff. Like, once he's branded you as incompetent and not getting him what he wants, you're gone. So I think she's gone.
All right. There's the prediction, and we'll pick this up probably in the new year and talk more about this. Wasted bacon.
Go check it out.
That's it. Wasted bacon, which we did not waste any bacon this weekend.
We did not. We only ate like 10 pounds. It's fine.
We consumed the big, great value, big, giant packs of bacon. But Wasted Bacon, and listen to Santa Got Deported, the hot new Christmas single.
Tell me what you think. I want to know.
And if they want to reach out to you for commentary, maybe about shooting a 308 or Wasted Bacon or anything else, how do they get you?
At D. Cameron Smith on the X Machine. And it's been fun being live, man.
Yeah, it's good. Good having you in studio. There he goes. And we'll be right back. More Midday Mobile next.
Southern Cancer Center, we treat more than a diagnosis. We bring together advanced therapies, a multidisciplinary team, and one focus, you. Southern Cancer Center, how we treat you matters most.
Hear the latest about plain living for Alabama and the Gulf Coast with Bill Finch.
Really interesting insight into how we think about the world and how we deal with nature.
Bill's a renowned nature expert and has been involved with Alabama conservation for more than 30 years. He acts as if the world revolves around plants.
It's amazing.
Which, of course, it does.
There you go.
Plain Living for Alabama and the Gulf Coast. Sunday mornings at 9 on FM Talk 106.5.
Hello again, friends. This is Randy Bergen with Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show, presented by McConnell Automotive, where there are no shenanigans and hassle-free buying. Check them out at McConnellAutomotive.com. Well, the college football bowls and playoffs are underway. The NFL is working towards the Super Bowl. Basketball is cranking up, and golf is just right around the corner. We'll talk all about it every Saturday morning, and we invite you to join us beginning at 10 a.m. Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show, the fastest hour in radio, is right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, Dub 135, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, and pretty exciting because back earlier this month when I was at live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, I had a jar of pennies out there, and we set this up that you guessed the number of pennies in the jar. It was a, well, let me bring Anna here from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry on. It was a non-standard size jar. Is that for, is that correct?
Yes. Okay. Basically, it held like 5 pounds, I think, of queen olives.
Okay, so it was not like, it wasn't like a gallon, so somebody could go, you know, use ChatGPT to figure out how many pennies. Okay, so that was, and then inside it, Ron had put filler, so there was, you couldn't even estimate it that way. So it was a, a tough guess because you didn't you know, didn't know how much filler was in there and all that. So that was the challenge, and people came in and guessed a number. And I mean, I was amazed just seeing that people guessing the number. I'm like, I have no idea. I'd have guessed more than 10 is all I could have guessed here. But not only to guess the number, some people got it exactly right.
Yes. There was a person that got it exactly right. His name is Ronald Price.
Ronald, now I'm playing the drum roll here. So Ronald Price got the exact number of pennies in the jar?
Yep. It was 3,573.
Did you talk to him? How did he come up with the number?
I have not called anyone. We've been so busy here at the shop that I haven't had a chance to call anyone yet.
So he gets it exactly right. So he's the top prize winner. How's this work?
Well, he can, once I contact him, and he can, we'll find a way for him to come into the shop and claim his prize or a cash equivalent, Ron said.
And the prize is?
1/10 ounce of gold.
Very good. I will, you know what, we talk later, I want to find out how he came up with that number. I mean, it's so exact.
Oh, yeah.
The exact number of pennies in the jar. Pretty amazing. Now, I know you're busy, but tell us why you're busy. I mean, obviously, Christmas coming up on Thursday. Give me some Christmas. Somebody who hadn't, you know, gotten gifts here, they still need a few more. What you got for them?
Well, Christmas coins have been selling like hotcakes. We got Christmas Mickeys. I think we've sold out of all the Christmas engravables. There's some Christmas Mickeys available for this year. There's other Christmas-themed items out there coin-wise. There's also 2025 American Silver Eagle. That's the modern silver dollar. A lot of people are coming in to buy jewelry right now. We have, you know, sterling silver on sale. We're doing a buy two, get one free, or buy three, get one free if it matches within the price range. Gold jewelry is on sale, too. We have a lot of unique vintage pieces available.
And people who've never been there before, how they find you?
We're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. We're just a block west of Little Flower Catholic School and Church.
Thank you, Anna. And tell the winner I'm blown away with the exact pick.
I will. Right. We'll touch base and find out how you got that number.
Excellent. Thanks, Anna.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. There goes Anna at the very busy Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And good to get this man in. You've probably heard his name multiple times now at FM Talk 106.5. I'll get you close to that mic. Victor Smith with Exodus Marine. Also, I want to say thank you for your work in law enforcement with the Sheriff's Department. Thank you for that. What do you do? What do you do with the Sheriff's Department?
Patrol. Yep.
So this time of year, I bet you it's extra taxing on patrol.
Yeah. It picks up considerably.
So you decided, so you do this, but you've got this, and y'all heard Exodus Marine and what they're working on. I was fascinated by this because what Victor's done is this thing where you go, you know what somebody ought to do? You did the, I mean, there's businesses that come up when a bunch of people have never done it. We just say, somebody ought to be doing this. And then we look up one day and somebody is doing this, and that's what you're doing for boating. And I say, thank you.
Supply and demand, right?
Yeah, it is, though. It truly is. And we can talk about that supply because I don't know what the numbers are, but from... let's say from 1990 to now, the number of boats on the water is, a tenfold increase or something? It's incredible.
It is a lot.
A lot more people boating. Yeah. A lot more people boating that are getting their first boat is not a 14-foot skiff with a 9.9.
It is not.
They're getting a big boat for their first boat.
Right, or a bass boat that does 89 miles an hour with no brakes.
Right.
So...
yeah, so, I mean, there's a real need for this information, and it's tough because we hear these stories from, you know, people who don't know the rules of the road and don't know what they're doing, hurt themselves and hurt other people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we drive since we're 16 years old in cars. Everybody drives cars, you know, and then at some point somebody makes a decision to get a boat, and boats ain't cars.
That's right. You know, like no brakes.
No brakes.
But they, and it isn't, you know, and people go, well, and I love it. I mean, the person that worked their butts off to, and they didn't have a small boat before, now they can buy this dream boat. It's cool. Like with my kids, though, I was always happy that, you know, you're learning on a tiller, a small boat with a tiller, where you're speed limited, where when you make a mistake, it doesn't have the consequences.
The consequences, yeah, absolutely.
So we got these people out there, and people who want to be responsible say, okay, I got that boat, and I want to know what I'm doing, but maybe they didn't grow up boating. Maybe they didn't grow up doing this.
Right, right.
You're teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
What, like, give me an idea of like a lesson plan of what you're doing with people.
Well, we will look at the individual and what their boating experience is, and we'll go off of that. If they've never had a boat, then we'll start with trailering, launching, mooring, things of that nature. If they've had a boat their whole life, no need to cover that.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to go to a twin engine boat, then we'll do twin engine boat stuff. If they want to go over electronics, we'll go over electronic stuff.
So, man, you got to keep abreast of that because the second I think I know something about electronics, then every, you know, or like my buddy Mike Ward would be like, hey, did you see the new so-and-so? I'm like, no, I'm still, he said, oh, that's 3 years ago, Sean.
Right,
like,
right. And then it's challenging for me to keep up with it as well, so.
But the, you know, you mentioned, and we'll get into the boating part too once you're on the water, but trailering. This is like, and I often talk about trailer maintenance too, like on the outdoor show we talk about it because the fun stuff is working on our boat and doing stuff with our boat, but if the trailer breaks down, it's a big problem.
Yeah.
Also, people who are pulling a trailer who haven't done it their whole lives and going, not only pulling it and then backing it in.
Yeah.
Let's just say there's Instagram channels full of people who don't know what they're doing with the
trailer. And we're trying to keep you off the Big Dan show.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you're getting, some of the best entertainment on the Gulf Coast happens at the boat ramps.
It does. So when you get people there, you take them, do they physically go learn how to trailer the boat and back down and
absolutely.
All that?
Absolutely. Only way to learn.
Okay, it's not like we're sitting with a bunch of school books in front of us going, and now go to chapter 12.
No, we're going to jackknife that rig 100 times before we get it right, you know?
This is and it's real important too to be able to do it quickly because so much demand at our boat ramps. I mean, if you take 12 minutes, you've now messed up, you know, three people.
Yeah. And you probably know, you've probably been there. Boat ramp etiquette sometimes is horrible.
Horrible. And that's, it's a term we've talked about before. So, Victor, for you, what do you get like? As you teach boat ramp etiquette, give me some takeaways that you tell people.
Before you get to backing your boat down, have the straps off, have everything the way you want it, because, you know, there's people waiting on you. And once you get ready to back the boat in the water, that should be all there is to do now, not get the straps off, adjust the fishing lines, yell at the wife, all that. You should have done all that way before you got to the water.
Right.
You know?
And that's, you know, and that's one thing it's maybe lost at trailering that person maybe might be a courteous driver would think about that, but they get at the boat ramp and they get tunnel vision and they don't think about all the other people waiting.
Right. And also they'll get there and perhaps it's a bad experience at the boat ramp, but now they're hesitant to go again, you know. So you start the spiral of boating death at that point where you're just intimidated by the whole thing and not take your boat out, which is the kiss of death for a boat.
That's why there's used boats for guys like me to buy. So now we're talking about trailer etiquette, boat ramp etiquette. You know, you could teach them how to trailer just on the road and then etiquette when they get there. Now we launch the boat. What do we talk about with that for the brand new boaters? Say they, you know, and God bless them because they worked their whole life, made money. Now they're going to buy. Yeah, I didn't have a little boat first. I was working. Right. Sean, so my first boat's a big piece of fiberglass.
Big piece of fiberglass that costs somewhere between $50,000 and $100,000.
To start with. And so you're going to teach them what about, because is it going to be hands-on like trailering?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So you're in the boat with them. You're going to teach them.
In the boat with them. Absolutely. Okay. I'll do it, then get them to do it, and then get them to do it again, and then do it again, and then put pressure on them and do it again until I don't have to say anything.
I'm glad you put pressure on them because that's the thing, too. You could be a champ, and if you're coming in, everything's good, and you're coming into a crowded boat ramp.
Yeah.
That's when you need to have the skill set.
Sure. Sure. So once they get comfortable with doing it, now we'll try to do it in 30 seconds.
You give them a time.
We'll play games. Okay. You know. So no matter what they encounter at the boat ramp or if the weather picked up or whatever, they have the confidence to still be able to moor their boat or operate their boat without panicking. Because a lot of the accidents you see obviously come from panicking and not thinking things out. So
As you look at it, the thing you think is most dangerous out there when we're out running the boats, what is it? What causes the most problems out there?
Too much speed for the conditions and the body of water. You know, If you're in Dog River and it's a big wide body of water, yeah, fine, because there's no posted speed limit on the water.
Right.
True enough. If you get into Fowl River, Chickasaw Bow, Bayou Sarah, some of the little creeks in the Delta, now common sense should take over, but now they still push it to the pins. And when you're doing 60 miles an hour in a small creek and you come around a bend and there's a boat, you have to pick the woods or the boat at that point. Because you can't stop, so.
Yeah, we're fishing Saturday in the Delta, too, and we're cutting through Crab Creek to come back in the Tensaw, and there's that blind turn where somebody coming in Crab Creek, and, you know, they cannot see you until they make that turn to try to stay in the channel and not get on that
bar
right
there. The one coming out in Tensaw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that one right there, I mean, it's like if they're coming up, that's like a 90 for them to stay in the channel, not go on that bar that's on the north side.
Mm-hmm.
And we start talking about, Captain Bobby and I were talking about it, it's like, if you're going, you're going fast and they're going fast.
Yeah.
The reaction time's probably less than a second.
Yeah, you think about two boats approaching each other at 50 knots, 50 miles an hour. They're basically closing on each other at 100 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quick.
So, you can't make the other people, hopefully the other people take heed of that too, but... Mm-hmm. You can take yourself out of that equation that you're not doing fish. When you come up to a place like that, you're backing off of it.
Backing off, yeah, absolutely. And as a general rule of thumb, you know, operating any boat, 75% throttle is pretty much ideal because if there's a collision or there's a situation, you only have two options, speed up or slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're already running to the pins, speeding up's not an option, you know.
Right. So, yeah, you don't have a headroom in that.
Right. So typically, as a general rule, you know, you want to run 75% of your max speed anyway. So that doesn't often happen here in South Alabama.
It does, but I tell you what, it'll help you do that. If offshore fishing and watching your digital gauge showing you how much gas you're drinking, and you realize how much that costs you, like, y'all, it's going to be another 30 minutes before we get out there for staffer numbers because this is costing me a whole bunch of money.
Yes, it does.
Rules of the road, too. You know, I see this and, you know, around Dolphin Island and all that. Many times in the summer, I just come into neutral and sit there because I can tell they don't know which way they're going to pass for me, and not even like captain's license stuff, just basic how you pass an oncoming boat, how you pass one coming from your 90.
And you know, when you take your test to get your boater's license, that's on the test. Clearly that's on the test, but and that's the difference between taking a PowerPoint course and being actually on the water. you know, because sometimes it doesn't translate to
you. Well,
you
do that with people, like, okay,
it.
You're out running with them and say, here's mm-hmm. this boat coming in for a 90. What do we do?
Yeah, right. Who has to go, who has to ride away, who does not?
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
And if you're not sure, then just, like you said, stop.
Is that, yeah, because I'm not a trained guy like you, but that's sometimes when I see a lot of stuff going on, like I'll be coming in Billy Goat Hole, too. Mm-hmm. Hey, go, I'm just going to go to neutral right now.
Yeah.
And we'll figure out what everybody's doing.
When you get into a situation where one person has right of way and one person don't, the Coast Guard says you shall avoid a collision.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're right, wrong, or indifferent, you will avoid the collision. So...
Yeah, well, that is what I've told my kids, too, talking with my eldest, and she's like, well, we have the right-of-way. I said, we do, honey, but they're not stopping, so we're going to just go let them do their thing. They can be wrong and not hit us.
Yep, and then we can go about our merry way.
That is correct. So with this course, is it one day? Is it over hours? How do you set these up?
They're a two-day course.
Okay.
They're a two-day course. It's like drinking water from a fire hose because – I try to put as much into 2 days as I possibly can.
Okay.
And this is just assuming that they have no boating experience at all.
Okay.
So we'll do a short PowerPoint talking about the pointy end goes forward, square end goes backward kind of things.
Yeah.
Trailering, we'll talk a little bit about different boat types and what the whole different hulls do, a little bit of line handling. And then they're putting the boat in the water.
Yeah, they're not finished with the course till they're doing it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, my motto is less me, more you.
Okay, I like that.
Every day, less me, more you.
Is it for individuals, or could a couple do it, or how do you do this?
Up to four people.
Oh, okay.
So the core of my course is the National Safe Boating Council. It's an on-water program that I'm certified to teach. They want a four-student-to-one instructor ratio, so
okay.
I stick with that. So that's the core of the course, but then... We'll add on if you buying a boat with electronics, we'll cover electronics. One thing I try to push for everybody is kind of the what if section. What if I'm sinking? What if I'm on fire? What if somebody on my boat gets hurt?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to interact with the Coast Guard? You know,
you know what? I'm ignorant to some of those.
What's that?
I'm ignorant to some of those questions you just asked.
A lot of us are. You know, a lot because it doesn't happen.
But,
you know, till it does, and then and then it's a problem. You know, it's like it's not a problem until it's a problem, and then it's a big problem. That sort of mantra. So I'll cover, and especially having a Coast Guard background, I can kind of speak from the Coast Guard's side of things, what the Coast Guard's going to want. You know, if they're going to medevac you off a boat, what they're going to ask you to do, and things of that nature. So,
and a follow on that, I've been this big proponent, and it's been building over the, I guess I got my first PLB 10 years ago or something, maybe 9-10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've seen story after story how important those are and how it works with the Coast Guard, and
how
having, you know, just saying you're lat long before you sink doesn't help them when you're in the current. You
right.
Know?
So. It does not, you know, it gives them a starting point.
Yeah.
Is all it does. But
if you get a PLB, they go, oh, there he is right there.
You see story after story of people getting saved by those. There was one
I've had him recently.
I think on.
Yeah, he's been on the show with me. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Easton Barrett is, and he, I mean, he's absolutely says he is alive because they had that PLB.
Right.
It's like a big deal. So is this something that somebody want to do, like for a Christmas gift or something like that? Can they contact y'all and set up, like, hey, honey, I got us this course or something
absolutely.
Like that?
Absolutely.
Okay, so your website, how do they get more info?
Right now we're on Facebook.
Okay.
Until I go into this full time, we're on Facebook, and you know, we are available by phone as well.
Exodus so. Marine on Facebook.
Yep.
Y'all see me as one of the friends on there. You know, linked in there. I follow your page. So Exodus Marine, and then from there you could set up you know, the
get
course.
Get in contact with us, and we'll set up a time, date. We'll use my boat. Let's crash my boat off the dock, not theirs. My boat's already got scratches and scars.
Well, what I like about this, here's the plan, okay? So, and probably maybe some ladies, but gentlemen out there, you're going to buy this boat, okay? You're giving the Christmas gift to the family. You're buying the boat. The way you break the ice is you say, honey, here's a certificate for Exodus Marine. We're going to do a training thing on running
together.
Boats. Oh,
yeah.
It's together thing. That's sweet. Then you say, by the way, they're bringing it tomorrow. The boat's about to show up here at the house.
Whatever works.
It's a nice
whatever
way to,
works.
Nice way to do it. Well, good thing. I'm glad you're doing it. You're doing the thing. It's a man doing the thing we all said. Somebody ought to do that. Victor's doing that. Exodus Marine. Y'all check it out. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Merry Christmas to you as well.
Merry Christmas.
This
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 156 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Hey, Ben just texted that they're looking for two men right now off the coast of Florida around Fort Myers who went fishing, went missing while they were fishing on Friday. And it just says Christmas gift ideas out there. People still looking for them. Of course, got awesome ones over at Locals Only Christmas 2025. You can find that on our website. Also pinned at the top there on our Facebook page. But let me throw this one in. And I know like Jerry in Fort Morgan's always agreed with me on this. I bet you Ben does as well. If you're looking for somebody who spends a lot of time in the boat, a gift for them, and a gift that really says, you know, you hear all these commercials, give a gift that shows you care. Get them a whatever, you know, a Snuggie. Because you can, no, get them a PLB, a personal locator beacon. You know, people call them EPIRBs, all this. But it is really, if you're going to be in the boat, it's going to be fishing, going to be not just, I keep defaulting to fishing because I'm typecasting myself. If you're going to be in the boat, these things are lifesavers and have proven themselves to be lifesavers. And that'd be kind of a cool gift. Some of you know likes to, you know, they like to get out in the boat. They do this stuff. Hey, I was thinking about you. And this is something that I want you to have. You maybe wouldn't buy for yourself, but you're important to us or whatever you want to say. And here it is. Pretty good gift idea. By the way, too, and Jerry had talked about this before. I have talked to people in the state legislature. Now, are they going to do it? I don't know, but I've given them the idea of going with no sales tax on personal locator beacons and EPIRBs. You know how we have no sales tax on different things in the state, the eyeglasses. Well, not eyeglasses yet. Eyeglasses. I think eyeglasses made it. I know hearing aids made it. Eyeglasses maybe haven't made it yet, but hearing aids did. Things we want people to, you know, to help them out with, maybe we take away the state sales tax on those PLBs, encourage that. All right, Paul Feinbaum on the way next. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on FM Talk 106.5.
What does it mean for a nation to be successful? I'm Stephanie Bryan, Tribal Chair and CEO of the Porch Creek Indians. We believe a successful nation gives back. As we've built economic opportunity and prosperity, the Porch Creek Indians have been able to give back to our neighbors in Alabama and beyond. More than $37 million since 2021 alone. From education and health care to tornado relief, learn more about our charitable giving at porchcreekindians.org.
Get an education on blockchain tech with Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall. The constantly changing universe of blockchain technology is way deeper than just cryptocurrency. Scott talks about the hows and whys of the blockchain, plus introduces you to companies that are pioneering this brave new world. Beyond the Blockchain. Beyond the Blockchain. Tuesday nights at 8 on FM Talk 106.5. 106.5. Turning up your voice. FM Talk 106.5. WAVH FM. Daphne, Orange Beach, Mobile.